Wherever you go, whoever you speak to, if you have conversations like I do with people around you, the word trauma comes up in conversation all the time. With people I know, with people I don't know, somehow it comes up because it feels like we're living in a traumatized world in many, many ways. Now, is it just a buzzword? Is it something people are using as an excuse, or is it real trauma? And what is real trauma? We hear it so much. The five-year-old in my brain who needs to understand things so that there's critical thinking, it's one of my mechanisms for critical thinking, needs to know what is trauma. And so to answer that question as a starter is Kim Lazarus, who's a clinical psychologist. Thank you so much for your time, Kim. What is trauma?
Kathy, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.
I think kind of a universal and broad definition of trauma is that trauma is the emotional response to either witnessing or experiencing a deeply disturbing event involving actual or threatened death, serious injury, or sexual violence.
Okay. And that's the end of the interview, because that was brilliant.
Well, I think the interesting thing about trauma
yes.
is that when we think about trauma, what it actually is and its effect on the body and the mind, it is a biological response, as we all know, and our bodies react to trauma. But the psychological effect of trauma is that the event shatters both internal and external assumptions that the world is a safe and benign space. And that's very destabilizing in terms of one's physical safety in the world and even a sense of self.
Okay, so hold
therefore,
on. Before, it feels like you're jumping ahead.
Cool.
So just so that I can understand your statement, is that our bodies respond to a threat. So for example,
yes.
anyone who's ever been in a car accident, right, or a car crash, a collision, everything slows
yes.
down. It slows down. We don't see it in real time. Is that a trauma response or body's response to trauma?
So the brain is such an amazing, amazing thing. When we are met with a stimulus, particularly like in this case, we're talking about a traumatic event.
Yes.
Triggers in our nervous system and parasympathetic nervous system, where I'm sure you've heard of the fight, flight, or freeze response.
Yes. Okay, well, explain it.
I don't
assume that anyone's heard anything. I think you qualify to do the explanation.
So basically, certain reactions happen in the brain, and we are biologically primed to very quickly situation and choose what is most evolutionary about us. So in that moment, you're not thinking about, am I going to run, am I going to freeze, or am I going to fight? It's an
yes.
automatic response that your brain reads the situation and makes a decision in that moment.
Okay.
It's not something you have control over.
Yes. So let's use the car crash as an example. So we have this this car crash. It's quite serious, and you know we get taken off to get treated. And when do we start processing it, and how do we process it?
So I think what we first need to establish is kind of psychological first aid.
Yes.
Before any of the processing can take place, the client needs to feel, they need to be medically stable in the car crash incident.
Right.
But they also need to feel safe. So to kind of post-trauma, reestablish a sense of safety, make sure that they are in a physically safe place, they're surrounded by people that they trust, their physical needs are met. I would say, you know, having in mind that, say, all those things are met, trauma processing can normally happen within, say, the first 48-52 hours of the event. You need to kind of give your body time to readjust biologically, so kind of give time for the adrenaline to come down, the cortisol levels to drop, to get out of that shock and survival mode.
Right. Okay, survival mode. What happens in a society where we are all living in survival mode? In many cases, we are because we're looking at what's happening around us. We look wherever. I don't know one person who isn't being severely affected. And yes, life is balanced and all of that, but there are very real traumas, especially in our community, Kim.
I think that's a really interesting question. And I think, you know, if we look at what's happening in the world around us, there's almost this keen sense of uncertainty. Uncertainty is one of the most difficult things for the psyche to handle. When something is not known, there's no way of us dealing with it. And I think if we kind of look back look around in the environment that we live in, there's so much uncertainty, which makes us feel anxious and stressed. But I think on the other hand, I think it's important not to pathologize the trauma response. I think trauma response is a normal reaction to abnormal circumstances. Everyone will respond differently. Everyone's processing journey will look different. I think we have to understand it as it's not being a pathological response, but a normal response. And we need to kind of best understand our response in order to get the right interventions.
How do we know when we are ready for an intervention? Because as you said, you know, you need to give the body, the psyche, you need to give it time. So how do you know when you're ready?
I think that looks different for everybody. I think, you know, when you have come to a place where you feel like I'm feeling so grounded enough in this moment that I can go back and do the trauma work, which is often hard. And sometimes we need a push from loved ones because they can see that we're not okay. And sometimes it's harder to see ourselves that we're not okay. But I wouldn't say there's one size fits all. I think when you're feeling grounded enough in the current moment, you know, that you've come out of that sense of shock. You know, trauma debriefing is different to support. In those moments of shock, you know, or the days following a trauma, we need the support. The trauma debriefing comes maybe at a later stage where we're feeling more grounded and we can go back and do the work.
Can you give us just a takeaway, because we're going to have to wrap up. But, you know, for someone listening right now, who has experienced a traumatic event and even part of this community. I mean, I remember after the 7th of October, you know, nobody went out. Mm. Nobody went out. Nobody met for coffee. And when we did 2 weeks later, strangers were holding on to each other in restaurants and crying. Like, that was the trauma response. But where do we move as a community from there?
100%. I think we've all kind of experienced a trauma response post October 7th.
Yeah.
But what I will say, and the one takeaway, is that one of the most protective prognostic factors against the development of, say, PTSD is social support. So connect to, you know, as I was saying last week, you know, connect to your communities, connect to your cultural identities, connect to one another, and also find a sense of meaning and purpose. So when you are feeling helpless, I think try and use that sense of helplessness and turn it into a sense of purpose by doing something where you feel like you are contributing or feeling in control in some way.
Yeah, finding meaning, you know, it's getting back to, you know, man's search for meaning, right? Suffering when there's 100%. Meaning behind it isn't as much, and it makes it worth it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Kim, and that comes at a later stage.
Yeah. Kim, thank you so much. I'm pretty sure that it won't be the last time that we speak to you here on Chai FM, and thank you for doing what you do. And have a wonderful afternoon. That's Kim Lazarus. She's a clinical psychologist talking about trauma. Have you felt traumatized? Not that I want you to, you know, make these confessions on the radio, but it just seems like the world is in a state of trauma at the moment. And it's, yeah, the good thing is that as we create distance from traumatic events, we do get better, and that's what we work towards, right? I'm Kathy Kayla, standing in for Paula Slea, And the time has gone 20 past four. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I'd love to hear from you. Message coming through. Thank you so much. This is from Barry. And Barry says, it was great listening to my cousin on Hi Kathy, Barry Amler from Athol. Thanks, Barry. Then another, I was talking about the Golden Gate Highland Park, which is, just go and Google it. If you've never been there, do a road trip there. It's 3.5 hours from Johannesburg on the N3. Actually, it's a little bit longer. But it's just wonderful. And don't take the back road. Take the N3 to Harry Smith. And from Harry Smith, make your way towards Clarence. And the road that you go on from Harry Smith to Clarence is, it will take you through the Golden Gate Highland Park. It's absolutely magnificent. So Moshe says, many years ago, as first-time tourists to South Africa, we made a similar 12-day trip to Cape Town, and we stopped at the Golden Gate Park. It was magnificent. My daughter was 2 years old at that time. 11 years later, my wife flew to Israel with our younger kids, and I took my daughter to the park for a long weekend. We stayed at the park, and we spent 3 memorable days hiking, enjoying every step and every moment of our time together there. It's a spectacular, special park where part of the scenery reminds me of some parks in Arizona and Nevada. From Moshe. Thank you so much, Moshe. Yes, absolutely. It's just, and you know, those memories when we do road trips and we do these things with our families, we separate from technology. That's what builds memories. Sitting in the back of the car, texting or playing games, you only will ever be an observer and never a participant.